Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
As we move into the 4 o'clock hour, it's Christian Arkin, it's Andy Hart, it's WEEI Afternoons. We've got room for you on the phones at 617-779-7937. It's Gerard Mayo from this morning. Asked about the news leaking, because he told everybody, and they had to go back and sort of correct this, but he said that he told everybody about this, the team, this morning, except for the two quarterbacks, who he told last night. But he didn't mean last night. He meant Monday night, which is when we talked to Jacoby Brissett, and he didn't seem like he heard that kind of news on Monday night. So, first of all, let's put this timeline together then. Monday night, we were there. We were at Gillette. We talked to Brissett on the phone. We asked him, does he expect to start? He said yes. He said, I expect to start. I have no change there. I hate Evan Lazar is basically what he said to us.
It's a good summation.
So many words. And then today, Mayo says, no, I told them Monday night. Now, he could have told them after we talked to Brissett, I suppose.
Sure.
That could have happened. It was around, we talked to him at like 4:45, I want to say, something around that. And it could have been after that, I suppose. I don't know exactly how long these meetings take. I don't know how long guys stick around. You'd know more about that than I would.
Yeah, I mean, I know that day, even part of, I think they had like an NFLPA meeting, which those pop up sometimes, and those extend the day. I mean, that was getting late in the day. That was getting late in the day when we talked to Jacoby. It wouldn't be surprised, but they could have been kept too. They could have let everybody else go.
And you guys
and said, hey,
around,
by the way, can you guys hang out? Let's have a chat individually, group. I don't know. I'm also a little suspect of this clarification that they made where he said the night before.
Right, which would mean Tuesday night.
Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And then the PR clarified that he meant Monday night.
Well, if it was Tuesday night, then that means it was after the news broke, right? Because the news broke
at
4-ish or something. 100%. So then the rap sheet comes out with the news, and then he calls May and Brissett, or then he has them come into the office. I don't know exactly how that news was delivered. It was an off day yesterday, so guys didn't have to be in the building. Maybe they went to Lyft or whatever. I don't know what guys come in for, but like it was a day off. So when the news break, we were talking to McLaughlin at like 4:45, I think.
Somewhere around then. We talked to Schefter about it.
Yeah, so.
And he was saying how it was a little weird because there was a off day. So I think he said quarterbacks are always in, so they might have been in today to have a talk with Gerard. It's weird. There's a little weirdness, and I would say.
So what do you think happened?
I actually tend to believe he may have told them late in the day Monday night.
Okay.
The quarterbacks.
Okay.
And I actually think that lets the cat out of the bag.
So they didn't find. Well, it didn't get out of the bag until late the next day.
No, I know, but that. So now, I mean, Drake May might call his brothers. Like, there's all kinds of layers of sources that could potentially.
An agent might call somebody. Right.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot more people involved, and that's probably how it could have gotten out there. Or the team could have just said, screw it. It's going to get out there, so we might as well just let Schefter and Rap Sheet know. Or Rap Sheet first, I guess, kind of had it, and then Schefter followed up. So
we believe that Rap Sheet sources are in the office, right? Not on the field. Like that's ownership, upper management, that type of thing.
Is who
we believe he's getting his information from.
That is my contention. That is my assumption.
So that means not from Gerard Mayo. That means not from Alex Van Pelt. Maybe even not even Elliot Wolf. So was there an announcement that got made that surprised those guys?
It's certainly possible. But my bigger issue here is Gerard Mayo's sort of dismissal of it.
Right.
He was hell-bent on handling it in week one. Hell-bent, remember?
Yeah. Like, we're going to talk to both guys. It's going to be a whole
team,
thing.
The whole thing. Right. I don't want it. It's only fair. Like, and now it's like, it's fine. Everybody reads everything. It's fine. It's fine. Like, is it? Is it fine? It doesn't feel fine. It feels... I mean,
if you're Drake May, it's fine because you get to start. But for Brissett, I mean, he was very concerned about Brissett or whoever wasn't going to start and their feelings and their getting the news before everybody, all that stuff. I mean, that was a big deal. Yeah.
And I feel like just the culture and the trust of the team and doing things the right way, right? Like, not handling things in the court of public opinion. And now he's like, all these guys read everything anyway. It's fine. It's fine if they get it from Schefter, not their head coach. I don't think that's fine. That's not... That doesn't feel right to me, especially compared to week one.
The plan was probably for Gerard Mayo to announce it tomorrow to the team. I'm unsure whether the quarterbacks were told today.
Oh, yeah. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And that today?
Yeah.
Was yesterday.
Was yesterday.
Not Monday.
Right.
I'm not sure.
I'm unsure if the quarterbacks got told Tuesday. I'm not sure if they knew by Tuesday. So,
right.
I mean... They didn't know on Tuesday. They didn't know on Monday.
So he, yeah. You can't unknow something that you knew Monday night, and then Tuesday you need to be told again. So he believes they weren't told on Monday night.
Right.
And I don't, this is not the biggest issue here. The biggest issue here is simple. Drake May is playing,
mm-hmm.
and we will see if Drake May is ready to play, if he helps the team, if he helps Drake May, if he starts to develop, right? But there is a sub-layer to this of how it was handled, right? And that matters. It might matter to Jacoby Brissett, for
definitely.
All I know. We haven't talked to him. We
this
heard
is a
him.
New regime. The old regime didn't. It wasn't like this. Like the old regime, it was Bill. He was the guy, and that was it. And if you crossed him, you were wrong. And the Kraft sort of backed off for the most part. They didn't jump in and make decisions on his behalf. He did it all. And now that is not the case anymore.
And the old regime, and certainly the old regime during winning, if something got out, it means Bill kind of. Was okay with it being out.
Right.
Whether he did it, had Bears handle it, Stacy handle it, he was okay with it. Now, in the last couple of years, I think there was some ownership bill leaks that kind of went mm-hmm. back and forth. So
definitely.
That's a different landscape. I'm talking about the heyday when the culture was strong and everybody was on one page.
And I think there were players leaking stuff too.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah.
Because it changed. Because they realized,
coaches, all
you guys are doing it, you're doing it. In the old days, it was like, nobody's doing it, so I'm not going to be the one who's going to break free from the way we do business.
And we're so good that if you do it, we can get rid of you and it won't make a difference. You're not going to slow us down.
But this one, I am not even comparing him to the Belichick, you know, great years where it was one voice and one information. I'm comparing it to week one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm comparing it to Gerard Mayo,
right.
who wanted to button something up in week one and now is like, it's fine. They all read everything on the internet. I don't know if Jacoby Brissett thinks it's fine. We all read it on the internet. And other guys, you think Jacoby Brissett has some supporters in that locker room?
Yes.
Fans?
Absolutely.
Not that there's, I'm not going with a mutiny or a fracture. I'm just saying there are probably guys that really respect him and want him to be done right, not done dirty.
Sure.
And some of them may be like, wait a minute, Jacoby, you didn't know you were benched before Schefter reported it? Oh, that's effed up.
Right.
Nope,
right?
That's how, I don't have any questions on that.
That's how I would feel as a friend. Like, if I'm a friend of Jacoby Brissett, I'd be a little pissed off for him.
Yeah.
Whether he's pissed off or not, I'd be like, wait, you took 47 hits a game for five straight games? I saw you grabbing your ribs. I saw you.
And now they don't have the decency to call you in.
Now they're kicking you to the curb on the freaking internet and social media. And then the next day he goes, it's fine. That would annoy me.
Yeah. You know, that doesn't reflect well, especially on a losing team, okay? You're not some great team that can just steamroll everybody and not, doesn't matter how we treat our players. No, you have to pay the suck tax, you know? You have to do it in all different forms, but this is part of it. You can't treat people like that. That's how you get a mutiny.
Also, a team that the head coach, I believe one of the first things he said was, relationships.
Right.
It all starts
communication,
with relationships.
Relationships, all that. So
before I can
like
coach you, I need
that,
to know you, and we have to have a bond and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships.
But Jacoby knew this was the deal, right? I mean, he told us.
It's like that random voice scared the hell out of me.
I know, that's why I like to raise my hand, because I never like to
see you.
I'm going to
hype
in.
Yeah. He scared me.
But he knew the deal, right? He was paid $8 million. He knew what the plan was. The plan was never for Jacoby to play. He knew this day was coming, whether it was sooner rather than later.
That's not fair. We all know that certain big picture things, you still deserve the respect of telling me to my face. Don't tell Schefter first so I read it on my effing phone.
You're right.
Yeah, but that's how
everybody
football
knew it was
going
to happen. I mean,
it doesn't have to work that way.
It doesn't
I thought
have
they
to,
were creating relationships, and I thought they were doing it a different way, and they were caring about the person as much as the athlete and all that.
And he's still on the team, right? So it's not like they're just getting rid of him completely. He's the backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know?
If Drake May gets hurt like all these people in the 603 are rooting for, then Jacoby Brissett's going to play on Sunday. So he's still a key factor of the team. He still has to be ready to play. I don't want to make more of this than it is, because the key part here is Drake May is playing. As a Patriots fan, you should be excited about that, see where it's going to go. I just wonder, was it handled in the best way it could have been handled?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like it was.
No.
Feels like there's something. I know we did spin zone, and we can't do sniff test and spin zone in the same day, but
I mean, we could if we wanted to, but yeah, let's not.
It doesn't feel like it totally passes the sniff test.
No, not when Mayo's coming out saying, I'm disappointed that this news leaked out. I mean, right. he didn't leak it out. He's disappointed. I think he's being nice there, but yeah, that's true.
They should have found a funny way to tell Jacoby, like maybe stick it in like a fortune cookie, or like when you propose to your wife, you put the ring in the cake or something. It was just like some hidden note.
Or those, have you seen them recently where like kids on football teams are asking a girl to the prom and their teammates make a sign behind, like
they take
a photo, and then when you look at the photo it says prom question mark. Mm-hmm. So Jacoby, would you take a photo bench over here? And behind him it says bench.
That's mean.
And you're like, son of a
617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we'll talk with Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal. First, here's Stiz. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
With what's trending. Drake May going out there against the Houston Texans, who last we saw them, they were body slamming Josh Allen into the turf, through the turf almost. He was getting a Hulk slammed out there by those guys. That's a tough defense in Houston, and a tough defense to have your baptism by fire. But that's how it's going to go. And for more on that, joining us on the line right now from Boston Sports Journal, you've seen him all over the place. Mr. Mike Giardi joins the program. Mike, how are you?
Christian, what have you done with Andy?
What?
He's like Mr. Positivity now. I don't know what the hell's going on, and it's quite frankly, it's a little bit, it's making me a little uncomfortable.
Wait a minute. We've been yelling at each other for a month and a half, so I don't know.
Wait a minute. So you're not one of those negative people right now, because this is the five-day run-up or whatever the hell it is that should be nothing but positivity in Boston sports and Patriot Nation. You have a number three overall pick quarterback who's the future of the franchise, who we all wanted to see, and we're going to get to see him on Sunday going against another young, great quarterback who said this guy is the most pro-ready in the class. So you tell me, sir, why should I have any hesitancy to be anything but positive?
You, sir, have had too much cold medicine.
That is true.
What you are completely ignoring is the fact of how badly they butchered this entire thing, this quote-unquote plan, and decided to stick him in, not against the Miami Dolphins, who are absolutely an inept football team, who you out-inepted, if you will, to lose the game on Sunday, or wait until London to play a Jacksonville team that is praying to God that their head coach gets fired. Instead, you decide to stick him up against the best pass rush in the National Football League and the best passing defense in the National Football League, which makes absolutely zero sense. And you know why it makes no sense? Because it wasn't the plan. They rushed this. They panicked. And I get it. They suck. I understand wanting to change gears here and that he can give you some life. But don't tell me that they handled this properly. So if I'm negative for pointing out that the Patriots don't know what the hell they're doing, then so be it. I'll be negative guy.
Fair enough. Mike, what was the plan then? I mean, if this wasn't the plan, what was it? It clearly wasn't to start him against Miami. It wasn't to start him in any of the first month's worth of games. What do you think, if everything was going the way they wanted it to, what would the plan with May have been?
Sometime in November. I think they wanted to let him just sit over there and continue to mature. We're talking about 19 days ago. And I did the math, and I think my math is correct. 19 days ago, the day after he mopped up against the Jets, Alex Van Pelt told us two very important things. One, what's the best thing for Drake May right now? He said, what? To continue to watch from the sidelines. Not play, watch from the sidelines. And he also said of that debut, which people seem to kind of forget, there was a lot of plays there, and then they didn't call timeouts at the end for whatever reason, probably because they just wanted to get out of there. He regressed in certain ways with the footwork, which has been the biggest thing about him that we talked about before they even drafted him. And so when the bullets started to fly for real, he started to regress and do the things that they were trying to coach out of him. So you're telling me now in 19 days that because of virtual reality and 70-30 with the ones and scout teamwork and all those things, that in 19 days that stuff disappeared? No, it didn't. They're 1-4. People were leaving the building during the fourth quarter of a one-score game. There were probably 50,000 people in the stands. I'm sure it was a sellout. I'm sure everybody bought their tickets. But in terms of how many people actually went, and nobody wants to watch that again. So there's a whole combination of things that they threw in the pot, and they just said, you know what, let's just do it. Screw it. We're going to do it in 3 weeks. We might as well do it now. And look, I'm as excited as the next guy to watch this kid develop and hopefully become the franchise quarterback, because I think he is insanely talented. But to think that this was the plan is just – it's not. It just wasn't the plan. And they're going to leak stories. They're already doing it. And they're going to talk, oh, no, he's really been like – no, just stop. Just stop. I don't blame people for writing that when someone tells you – important tells you that. But, like, also when you read it with a grain of salt. They're trying to cover their ass right now.
So you keep saying they. Who's they? Because I think you touched on a couple things there. Ownership could have interest in terms of fans and leaving 100%. Seats, booing. Okay. You could have – I have a little conspiracy theory here. This was the first week where I heard questions saying, hey, should you change play callers? Should you give Ben McAdoo a chance? I think there's a chance that Alex Van Pelt could change his tune in 19 days because he's like, wait a minute, they're calling for my job. You know how I distract them from that? Put the rookie out there and give me a few more weeks of a different guy. Gerard Mayo claims it was all his decision. A lot of people assumed from day one he might have wanted to play the rookie quarterback. So this they you keep throwing out there, who is they and why did they decide right now and how did they kind of make that happen?
It's all of them, Andy. It's,
now they is them.
Well,
pronouns
yeah,
get
sure.
you in trouble in this day and age. Can we be careful here? I just got in this seat. I don't want to get kicked out.
I'm not trying to get you fired. Not yet, at least, Andy. No, look, I think Alex Van Pelt and Elliot Wolf have been, I think, in lockstep in their idea of how to develop Drake May. I think that's people have talked about it. I think it's been reported on a little bit. You know, the Packer way, like they wanted to, for lack of a better term, let Drake bake over here on the side, right? Like just keep cooking it until it's, you know, eventually we're going to go there. We're going to play him. I don't think there was any question that he was going to play at some point this year. You know, this wasn't going to be a full sit the entire season thing, but like, let's just keep him over there. Let's do it as long as we can. And Jacoby knows what he is. He's a human shield, but he's competent and he should be able to create stuff for us. And then your offensive line was dreadful. Your receivers remain a bottom third in the league group, maybe even lower than that. And after probably started in the second half of the Jets game, Jacoby's play has dropped off dramatically. And there's no question, I think we had the number on Boston Sports Journal, he's been hit or sacked 52 times in 5 games. That is unsustainable for anyone. And even someone as tough as this kid, and there's no question that Jacoby Brissett is as tough as can be, like he stopped seeing the field. And not that he was ever awesome at it anyway, but now all of a sudden, like, it's just like, I'm going to die. Here, throw the ball to the side. I'm going to, you know, like, it just, the marked decrease in his play the last 2 weeks, I think probably led them to come to this decision on Monday and be like, look, we suck. Nobody wants to watch our product. We got a bunch of players already frustrated. Guys are landing on the line and, you know, we're keeping this guy over here. And it's like, at this point, what do we have to lose? Because we look terrible. And what they have to lose is the possibility that the kid goes in there and throws up on his shoes, in part because of what's around him. And then, you know, you go into the off season thinking like, all right, well, do we have the guy or do we not have the guy? Do we need to rebuild his confidence? You know, like, what is it? So did he regress so much now that we're looking at the same kid that we saw coming out of North Carolina last year? Like, those are the things that I feel like haven't been given enough weight in this entire conversation.
Well, if May comes in and he's good, though, Mike, then isn't that going to sort of throw the idea that keeping him on the bench for 5 weeks was a bad idea, that waiting until November, if that's optimally what they wanted to do, wouldn't that sort of call into question their decision-making and evaluation abilities?
But why would that be worse? If he's going to come in and be good in week five or six or whatever this is, week six, and then you were going to, but the plan initially was to keep him out until November, so then wouldn't he be good in November?
Right, but now so the season, now you're 1-4 to start the year. If you'd started him to begin the year and he's good, then maybe the season isn't where it is right now.
Do you really think this is a playoff team?
I think that they could be 2-3 right now. I think that for sure. They had two winnable games.
I think that, well, here's the other thing, and I just wrote this today. There are people in that building. This is what I was going to say. There are people in that building, and I wrote about it today, who feel like they should be 3-2. Now, those are the same people, and these are important people, not like the lunch lady. But these are not that she's
Martha
not
at the
either.
Gate. Is that a shot at Martha?
Yeah, not that, look, not well. I have my own issues
okay,
there. But
keep going.
Anyway, yeah, 3-2. But those are the same people that are whistling past the idea. Like, they just want you to ignore the fact that the coaching has been dreadful this year. The defense is worse than it was supposed to be, even. And you can tell me, hey, no Barmore, now no Bentley. You traded Judon. Hey, last year you had no Judon and Gonzalez, and they were ninth in DVOA. And like, I don't love some of the nerd numbers, but like, if you're going to use a nerd number, DVOA has probably been the best indicator of success or failure in the league in terms of the nerd numbers. And they were ninth last year. This year they're in they're 27th, 28th. And that's coming off a team that played Tyler Snoop Huntley, who probably doesn't have as good an arm as Jackson Hart does at Dartmouth High School. So, you know, like, so what are we doing? Like, that's not good. The offense isn't good. I heard your thing with Orlovsky. Like, I don't know what he's smoking. Like, the scheme has not been good. The offense hasn't looked good pretty much at any point since week one. And even that was, you know, as Gerard said, unsustainable, which I would argue that's had been your only way to sustain and have some success through the first 5 weeks, and they got away from it, and it may have cost them a game. But like, so they think they should be 3-2, but they don't want to tell you one of the reasons that they're not 3-2 is because their coaching hasn't been good. Because then we change the equation. Well, our roster's not that good, but wait, shouldn't you have coached these guys up better? Shouldn't this look different? It's not a good roster, but it hasn't been a good coaching staff so far. And look, it's early for a lot of these guys. You know, this is Alex's first time doing this in 15 years. And this is Gerard's first time being a head coach after only being an assistant for 5 years. And it's DeMarcus's first run as a DC. But like right now, they're all like D-minus Fs. It hasn't been good. Now they can change that. They can change it starting this week. And they better hope that Drake helps them do that. But there's a lot of flaws to their thinking so far.
So this is not an ideal situation. We've already touched on that. That would have been probably better off last week, but it is what it is. He's playing. I liked what I saw from him at the podium today, which is a minor little stupid thing to read, but I think he's got some confidence and some swagger to him. The offensive line may be marginally better. I say that with a pause. Mm-hmm. We'll find out on Sunday. What do you think is... I'm going to use a phrase, hopefully realistic. Nothing crazy, but if you were being sort of optimistic based on people you've talked to behind the scenes, okay, sounds like you're not believing all the talk of how good he's looked on the practice field. What do you think a hopefully optimistic projection for Sunday would be?
You're talking like a statistical projection?
No, just like, do you think he's going to look overwhelmed? Do you think he can make the offensive line look a little bit better by, I don't know, making quicker reads, making quicker decisions, getting out of town, running a little bit, throwing on the run? Does he open up Pop Douglas? Does he make some plays with his natural athletic ability? What is, like, are those things?
Yeah, I think he will make some plays with his natural athleticism that will help them be a little bit more explosive. Well, which is to say they haven't been explosive at all, which will give them maybe the opportunity to hit some explosive plays that aren't handoffs to running backs or a tight end screen to Hunter Henry, which I think is one of your longest pass plays or second longest pass play of the year.
Yep.
So, yeah, you should get that. But, you know, talking to people yesterday when the decision came down and sort of talking across the league, it's like, you know, one person said it's a little scary when you put in the tape of how he looked against the Jets. And, again, like, that's some of, like, nerves and whatever. But, like, you know, the fact that his fundamentals regressed a little bit there, the footwork regressed. But his point was, like, he's going to make some plays for you. He's also going to make some plays for them.
Sure.
And I guess we're at the point now where your quarterback wasn't making any plays for you. And not that he turned the ball over a ton or anything, but, like, just wasn't making any plays. So you should at least have someone in there that has some playmaking genes in him. And so I don't know, like, statistically what it's going to look like. But I would imagine he's going to give you a little bit of juice there. I would also hope and here's to coaching. If I'm Alex Van Pelt, I'm embracing what you saw against Philadelphia and to a certain degree against Washington in the preseason. I know those are against threes, twos and threes. Some of the guys, you know, they're working at Lowe's right now or Starbucks. They're not in the league. But what'd they do? They went back to the North Carolina stuff, right?
Yep.
How do we make this guy feel comfortable and confident? Well, let's go from shotgun and let's spread it out and let's let him just kind of use that ability. And like, that's easier to read, right? You spread him out sort of like, hey, you know what the coverage is going to be. You know how they're going to attack you. Whereas if you're trying to be under center, D'Amico Ryans, and they're going to have some plan for you, it'll make it a little bit more difficult. So I would love to see them spread it out and just let them, you know, just let them run around and launch it a little bit.
We're talking with
they need some juice.
We're talking with Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal. You can find him on Twitter at Mike Giardi. Mike, before we let you go here, what one player on this roster, other than Drake May, obviously, is going to benefit the most from this quarterback switch?
Ooh, that's a good one. I mean, it should be Pop because he's just your best receiver. He's the guy that gets open. But, you know, we've seen some moments, even with Jacoby, where, including last week, where he was able to utilize that. I just have been so underwhelmed by the guys on the outside. Like, I'm a Jalen Polk sort of believer, but he's a really good player, like the pick. He doesn't separate, never mind the like some of the on-field behavior, which has been kind of nuts for a guy.
Pop's doing that too, I mean, but yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's like, but at least – at least Pop has at least some sort of a resume. It's a small one, but it's a lot longer than Polk's. So like I don't know. Like they need
resume,
more there. Booty, yeah, Booty. Yes, exactly. Booty played a lot the other day. He's clearly usurped Tyquan Thornton, but he's not like an explosive guy either. So I just think they're so limited on the outside that, man, I'm force feeding the hell out of the ball to Pop.
All right, we'll leave it right there then. Mike Giardi, great to talk with you. Thanks for jumping on here. It's the first time here on WEEI Afternoon Show with Host 1 and Host 2, so we appreciate you taking the time today. Thanks.
Host 1, Host 2 with Thing 1 over here. All
there
right.
You go. Very good. Stuff,
welcome Giardi, to the family.
Boston Sports Journal joining us here on the program with some good stuff on the QB switch from Jacoby Brissett over to Drake May.
Andy, the negative one, huh?
Yeah, right.
Wow.
I know. I mean, he's got him completely
he's fired up
there,
though.
Sure.
Like he
dead to rights.
That was good.
Yeah, it was good stuff. All right, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We have the latest on the Jabril Peppers situation. He has been put on the commissioner's exempt list. Gerard Mayo talked about it today, and we'll get to it next. That was Gerard Mayo talking about Jabril Peppers. While we're on the subject of communication in that building, Mayo did come out right after the news broke and talked, and he said that, you know, we're going to wait for more information before we decide what we're going to do regarding the arrest and how we're going to handle it as a team. That's been taken out of their hands now because he's been put on the commissioner's exempt list by the league, so the team doesn't have to do anything. They can still do something if they wanted to, but they don't have to now as the punishment angle of it has been taken out of their hands. And not for nothing, but a couple of days ago, I guess Monday, when Mayo spoke, there were rumblings that maybe he was a little pro-Peppers and that he didn't take the allegations maybe as seriously as you'd want someone to in a situation like that. And I understand. I mean, everybody gets their day in court and deserves to be heard and whatever, fine. But, like, there was serious allegations, and there was a bit of a tone, I guess. And I didn't pick up on it, but I saw other people saying it. So I think that's partially how these things come around. You noticed right there in the very beginning, he made a big point about, yeah, as an organization, domestic violence, we don't tolerate it, blah, 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 blah. Not stuff that he said on Monday. So
no, and he then basically said, I'm good to go. And then when I think Phil Perry went to start a question, he stopped him and said, and as a father of daughters and
right.
Kind of even made it more personal. And they are doing something because I believe if I sort of interpreted this correctly, Jabril Peppers could be in the building. And Gerard said he will not be in the building at this time. So
right.
They are even going above and beyond what the league would allow and saying he is basically not welcome at Gillette Stadium right now until we figure out what the hell happened and what's going on.
Yes, he's not in the building. They did a thing at the Pine Street Inn on Tuesday, and he was not part of that. And he's a captain, so I don't know if he would have been anyway, but I just sort of think about these things that the leaders are doing. And by the way, another captain on this team, like all the captains. The only two left are Dietrich Wise and Joe Cardona. Brissett's been benched. Peppers is out for however long. Andrews, you know, I mean, this is getting ridiculous kind of here, what we're seeing with these captains. But this situation, I think, is one that the details are going to be a he said, she said. It's already sort of started like that with the police report and sort of the mm-hmm. two sides of the story. what it's going to come down to, I think, is whatever the lawyer has as evidence that's going to exonerate his client. I think that's going to be it, because there was wounds on her. That, you know, her knees were all cut up. There was red marks on her face. Like, that's
tough to
talk your way out of unless you have something concrete.
Sure. I mean, it's going to be a weird, tough situation, as these often are. And I don't want to go down a road where I'm questioning anything. But I did the police report. The interesting things I heard from the police report were, A, the cocaine angle.
Right, yeah.
Which seems separate and almost something he can't get out of.
You wouldn't get on the exempt list for cocaine possession, would you?
I'm not so sure about that.
You
Cocaine's
would?
A big boy drug.
It is, but is that... It, you
I think you might.
Test positive for it, just possessing it, you'd get it put on the exempt list?
I think you might.
Okay.
I don't think that's
I don't
okay.
know. I have no idea. I'm just
I don't... And this... The commissioner's exempt list is relatively new. It's a tool that the league has used in the last 2 to 3 years. It hasn't been around forever, and it actually made it easier on the teams. Kind of took it out of...
it's been longer than that.
I
commissioner's exempt list? Wasn't Greg Hardy on the commissioner's exempt list?
No, I don't believe it was, because issues like that... where teams were not taking it seriously enough.
Right.
This was a tool to kind of, the league would take it out of their hands and take, you know, because the teams, I think, were not handling it always in the way they wanted. But then also the police report had the thing about, because I think Adrian Peterson, was he a commissioner's exempt list guy?
Yes, I think he was.
I feel like that was one of them.
Maybe in recent years, the list has included Michael Vick in 2009.
Oh, so it's older
Vilma
than I
in 2012. What did Vilma do? Oh, for Bounty Gate, I guess. Greg Hardy, 2014. Josh Brown, 2016. You remember that whole thing at the Pro Bowl? Reuben Foster, Kareem Hunt, and CeeDee Lamb. Why was CeeDee Lamb on the list? I don't know that.
I don't know.
Conduct detrimental. I mean, it's all sorts of different things. I don't know what Lamb was on for, but yeah, that's it. So it goes back to 2009.
It's so yeah, it's longer than I thought it was, the list. I just, the other thing in the police report was the very specific, and you read it on Monday when this was becoming news,
mm-hmm.
and it was knees and forehead, right? They specifically
yes, they said her
noted.
Knees were cut up and there was red marks on her forehead.
I thought that was just interesting, and I'm not, again, deciding anything. This is, because there was an accusation that he choked her 6 times or something like that.
Yeah, like smashed her head
and
the wall.
And they didn't have it, but they didn't have any note of neck. And I, that stood out to me just as like a, not, I mean, just watching TV and like evidence and stuff. You would have thought maybe there would have been a note whether there was or was not markings on her neck if he supposedly, allegedly choked her 6 times.
Right.
I think that part's going to be ugly. And I find it hard to believe, as brazen or as confident as the attorney was, like, where's this video coming from? Where's this perfect video that's going to exonerate him from any he
that's
said,
gonna
she said?
That's going to prove that he didn't
right.
do that? Like, how do you, unless you had the videotape going the whole time from the time she walked in to the time she
and
walked out.
In multiple rooms, potentially, because there was somebody, she went down the stairs.
Right.
He alleged she was intoxicated. She alleged, so that's different rooms.
And this is an apartment, too. It wasn't a house.
Yeah.
So, you know, like,
it
this
just,
is.
I feel like this is going to be ugly. Do you believe, just your gut feeling? We have no idea. Just gut feeling. Are we going to see Jabril Peppers play again this year?
Gut feeling, no.
Yeah, same.
Gut feeling, I don't think so. I don't think this is the
feels
type.
Feels hard. Because the next one is like November. He has a court appearance in November sometime.
Yeah, something like that.
So like you're already now more than halfway through the season before we even really start to go down a road of could you be proven not guilty? I don't think we're going to see him again.
No, I don't think so. And it pains me to say this because this is so serious, obviously, what he's accused of and everything, but the team's not good enough to make any kind of exception either.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
And I'm not saying that they should. I'm just
no,
saying,
you're being
like,
a realist, though.
This is what happens in the NFL. They find reasons to get Greg Hardy back on the field or Ray Rice back or
yep.
whatever it
100%.
Is. They'll figure out a way to do it, and they'll figure out a way to make it happen if they think that he can help them win something. And this team's not winning anything,
nope.
and they know that. And
if anything, you can use it as a teachable moment, as Obama used to say, like a tool to try to scare people straight and take things seriously, and maybe they're big on culture and they're setting in a culture and this could be a way to do that. And the one thing that you're right is Patriots captain is becoming like Pro Bowler. Like,
know.
You know how it's been devalued?
Like a Madden curse, yeah.
It's like anybody who got votes is soon going to be a captain because everybody keeps getting popped off the top. Everybody gets taken off the list.
Yeah.
It's a very strange year in that sense.
Yeah, it certainly is. Anyway, that's another part of this that maybe was, I don't want to say, Ted Johnson said this the other day, that this Pepper situation may have played a role in the speeding up of the Drake May thing. And I don't know. I mean, that again seems kind of callous, doesn't
distraction,
it?
Distraction, you mean?
Do you want to change the subject or not? Like, this is a good thing to change the subject from.
I guess. I just don't know. It didn't feel to me, correct me if I'm wrong, that the Jabril Peppers thing got a ton of attention.
I think it did.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So it was going to be like a bigger story if you didn't announce Drake May and squash it?
Well, maybe. I mean, I think it
was like a one-day story
came out. Sure, yes. I'd agree with that. Maybe it wasn't going to be something we talked about all week long because, again, you know, this team's got its other issues and everything, and there's not really much you can do until the court proceedings start. But it was a negative thing that happened this week that we found out about 2 days ago, and then 3 days later, all of a sudden, May's the starter.
Yeah, so. No, yeah. I get why people are connecting to dots. I just, like, was it even really much of a national story, the Peppers thing? I felt like it was a local story.
I mean, it was in the Post.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I just, it didn't.
Pro player, captain of a team getting arrested like that? That's a big
feel
story.
Ray Ricey to me, or like one of these ones that really blew up and became like USA Today columnists are writing about
right.
it. Problems with the NFL.
Well, listen, the proceedings are going to start. The info is going to come out. Well, pictures may come out.
Pictures
videos,
and video change
all that
everything.
Stuff, and it may be that exact
That's why
thing.
I'd be yeah. careful if I were the attorney, because you may think the video is going to do one thing, but once the video is out there, people interpret it on their own. You don't get to control what people see and what they think in terms right. of what they see. So video, it's often in these cases much worse when the video comes out or the pictures come out than the imagination of people and just having sort of a story in their head.
Yeah, agreed. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Coming up on the final hour here, we'll touch back on the Bruins and their awful start to the year against the Florida Panthers, and we will reset on everything that's going on here with Drake May and Jacoby Brissett, Jerod Mayo, and more. That's all coming up in the final hour here on WEEI Afternoons. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.